think I've got it figured out. We're going to go to over to Luke chapter 14. We're going to be starting now around verse 15, and I will say this about this text as we're reading this. You know, oftentimes in the Bible, there's a couple of meanings. You know, the Scripture, as they say, is bifocal. The primary thing we will be reading about is the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ came into His own, and His own received Him not. He came to the nation of Israel, the people of His day, and they had no interest in His message. No interest. And that was true of the Jews at that time. And that's true of the world today. So there is a dual sense of meaning here in this text. It says here in verse 15, "One of them that sat at meat with him heard these things and said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now our Lord said, Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to come to them that were bidden, to say to them that were bidden, Come, for now, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it, I pray, have me excused." Now again, this supper was made. And I've been around long enough to know when supper is. Supper is late in the day. That's when it is. It's late in the day. And at the time this supper was made, it was late in the day. Our Lord came to this world in the last days. Since He arrived, it has been the last days. He spoke to us in times past by prophets, and He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. It's the last time. It's supper time. And He sent word to these men to come. And I love what He says here. Now, here's the reason. I'm pretty simple. I'm not much of what you call a point preacher. I hope I can get to my point, but I'm not sure I ever have points. My main thing to say here is this. There's reasons. Reasons why they should come. Reasons for it. And it says it right here. Here it is. Come to my supper. There's a great supper. Come, for all things are now ready. Now ready. Now ready. It was ready then, and it's ready now. All things are ready. We read in Isaiah 25. Look back over there for a moment or two with me. Isaiah 25. If you read this whole chapter, the chapter really is dealing with our Lord conquering all His enemies. All His enemies. He finally, in Moab, is just being referred to as His enemies. How He is like a man swimming with his arms out, just knocking down everything around him, destroying all his enemies. That's what this is about. But I love what it says here in verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees. Of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. Great feast. And you know, it's in this mountain. In the Bible, and particularly in the book of Isaiah, when you hear about a mountain, it's usually basically talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in this mountain. It's in this mountain that He has brought this feast to pass. And this feast being described here is Christ Jesus our Lord. That's right. Fat things. You know, one of the reasons I know this is talking about the gospel dispensation is because you couldn't eat fat. The Old Testament Jews could not eat fat. This is talking about a feast where you can eat the fat. You can eat tomorrow. This has got it all. It's got the great food. The great food. This feast, and it tells you something about it. It's a feast of wine on the lees. I've had a few wines in my time. I hate to admit such things, but down at the bottom, you'll see that little sediment. That old wine on the lees, getting all the taste out of that sediment. You know that old wine, you know what that is? That was the hidden wine of the gospel. Hidden, from the foundation of the world. The infinite, eternal, everlasting love of God for His people. Now that, my friends, is feast. Wines on the lees. You can't compare. You've never been in a wine shop like this. Wines on the lees. It's the wine of love. Long time it's been there. It's a strong wine of everlasting love. Wine on the lees, a wine of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about. And this is, we see this in the church. It's preached in the church. And he says here in verse 7, He will destroy in this mountain, right here in the church, He'll destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people. And the veil that spread over all the nations, all the Gentiles. This church, the church of God, this feast is a place of great light. All the traditions of men are done away with. This face of the covering. This ignorance that we lived in for years. The Gentiles lived in, dancing around totem poles and all this craziness. The face of the covering has been done away. Just like Goshen's land, there's light, but there's darkness all around. In this mountain. It's in this mountain. It's crystal clear here. The veil is taken off. And verse 8 says, He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces in this mountain. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth. You know why? Because the Lord has spoken it. The Lord has spoken it. The ignorance is gone. I look back at what I used to believe. I was raised a oneness Pentecostal. I didn't believe in the Trinity. And I was an absolute, confused, religious moron. But thank God, the veil's been taken off. I see Christ. I see Christ. I'm telling you, it's a feast. And the people that attend this feast will find that death has no power over them. It's been swallowed up in victory because of this one who came and dealt with it. This one who came here and put away our sins. And as a result of that, it's yet to come, but our tears are all going to be dried up. And there's coming a day, this one who conquered death with victory when he arose from the grave, there's coming a day that's going to be true of us. And all the reproach. All the reproach, all the persecution, all the hatred that we've ever faced in our lives for this gospel that we preach will all be taken away. What a day. That's the feast talking about here. So why? Come. Come to the feast. Come to the feast. You see that? Why is that? Well, he says it back here. He said, come, for all things are now ready. I love that word. I love the word ready, but I love the word now. Now. You know that? It's now ready. Our Lord, in His mercy, has had, I guess you could call it forethought, but it's much, much more than that. You know, back in Genesis, in the creation, there was never a creature created until He had food and a house provided for. The cattle weren't made until the meadows were made. The fish were not made until the sea was made. No creature you will ever read of. The birds, they were not made until the trees were planted. And you will not find one creature in the creation of God that ever had to listen to a grumbling stomach for 24 hours. I know people think, oh, that's just, those are ages being spoken of. No, my friends. Believe me, it's just a day. The morning and the evening were one day. And I'm just here to tell you, none of them were hungry waiting for their food to be there. Even Adam, when he was created, arrived in a garden that was complete. He was given instructions the day he got there, don't you eat of that fruit. Why? The fruit was there. All things are ready. All things are now ready. It's always been that way throughout the Old Testament. You look at the days of Noah when the ark was preparing. All that time, The creatures were being brought in. The provisions were being brought in. And finally, one day, the Lord said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." But you know what? All things were ready. Now. Jacob's seed. Mentioned that a while ago. Jacob's seed didn't go down, even in the famine, until one of his sons was sitting on the throne to provide for them when they got there. They couldn't take the land of Canaan. There were only 70 of them. They went down for 400 years, just like the Lord told. Look over here at Genesis 15. We have to get everything in place. We have to put Joseph on the throne and everything that was involved in that to make things ready. And here in Genesis 15, if you look at verse 13, the Lord said to Abram, He said to Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve I will judge. And afterwards they shall come out with great substance." The Lord provided that. 400 years before, the Lord told them when they leave Egypt, they're going to have their hands full of gold and silver. That's why all those people there in Egypt coughed up that money, were willing to give it to them. "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." You know, they could not return back there until the Amorites had completely fulfilled all the iniquity and were way beyond anything that God would consider a mercy towards them. He brought them back when the Amorites were that wicked. And when he got them to the country, to that land, after 40 years of wandering, they came into that land. And before they came in, he sent in a hornet, the hornets before them, the scripture says, to run those Canaanites out. They come across the Jordan, and the first day they came into the Jordan, they ate the old corn of the land. The manna stopped falling. No reason for it. There's plenty of food right here. And then they walked in and they went in and took over houses that they did not build and vineyards that they did not plant. And they had vines and everyone sat under their fig tree. How'd that happen? All things are ready. You see that? That's the way He is. That's the way our Lord is. All things were ready. They didn't build. They're just all ready. So come. I love that word. And here, verse 18, it says, "Well, they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, 'I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray have me excused. You know. As I said, this is primarily talking about the Jews of his day who did not believe him nor the testimony of John the Baptist. But it's also the way it is with men today. They're full of excuses. Full of excuses. This first man said he'd bought a piece of ground, but he hadn't looked at it. But he was very apologetic. "I pray thee, have me excused." You have to give him credit for that. But "I must needs go see this property." Now, I'm just here to tell you, he's talking about the present necessity of going to see something that he had not looked at before he bought. When you can buy land without seeing it, you got too much land. You have too much of this world. And that's the bottom line with this man. He had too much of this world to be interested in the things of Christ. To regard the things of this earth, the property that we have. I tell you, what does it gain a man? What does it profit a man if he has everything? If you have everything in this, I mean, I'm not just talking about the state of Virginia. I'm talking about the United States. And you have the rest of all the gold, all the silver, everything here. If you had all that and lost your soul, what in the world have you been profited? What a stupid excuse. I won't, you know, you really can't speculate about this, but I will tell you something here. There's something really more valuable to this man. And I find that in this world, The less valuable things really are, the more people value them. They just do. This world. Point in case. Is the truth better than wealth? Is it? The world don't think so. Most men don't think so. Which is it that men want most? The truth or wealth? World's full of Bibles sitting in houses. And there are bookshelves around the world groaning under all the weight of all the things that men have ever said. And you can read all the writings of men. And you might get a drink from it, my friend, but it ain't nothing but a mud puddle. And folks won't open a Bible and learn anything about God. Spend their lives in ignorance. It's amazing. Go through this world and never give 15 minutes of serious thought about eternity. I got some land. Now, I tell you, that's what I said a while ago. That ought to show you the depravity of man. Are we depraved? Yes, we are, by nature. Everybody is. In verse 19, it said, another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I must go and prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Well, once again, he's very polite. I bought these oxen. 5 yoke, 10 oxen. I got to go hitch them up and prove them. It's supper time. You don't hitch up your oxen at supper time. These are just vain excuses that men make. Vain excuses. They're just, we call it begging off, I think, is the old expression. In verse 20, he says, another said, I have married a wife. Therefore, I can't come. No apologies. I've married a woman. I can't come. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people that have believed the gospel over years and have been persecuted for believing the gospel. And that's rough on them. But you know what keeps more people away? Their love for somebody else. Love for somebody else. They got a husband. They got a wife. They love. And they just can't come. I cannot come. Love will hinder. Our Lord says down here in verse 26, look down here in this same chapter down at verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Our Lord, he'll have nobody stand between the soul of his children and him. Can't be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. I will tell you this, if you've got a wife you've married, bring her along. It'll do you good. Years ago, I and my wife went and heard the gospel. It's the one, and my children. Now, the bottom line is, as you read these things, there's one thing that's obvious. All of these men were making light of the feast. They had no real regard for the provisions of that feast. They had no real interest in it. They saw nothing priceless about those provisions. They figured they had something at their house that was just as good to eat tonight for dinner. They didn't realize the provisions of that great feast. They thought they had something just as good. And the world is like that. Men don't come to Christ for righteousness because they think they've got something just as good. They don't worry about eternity because they think they're moral. They think they're as good as their neighbors. But my friends, I'm here to tell you this morning, God Almighty is not grading on a curve. There's no 99.999% that will do. It's 100%. You have to be holy, perfect, righteous, and just. And there's only one way you can be that way. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. That's the feast I'm talking about here. And they saw no reason for this. It was a contempt to the feast. It was a contempt for the one who had provided all these things. All things that were now ready, they held in contempt. Now, they did not care, the Jews didn't, to have the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, we're in a religious generation just like that now. Well, so you see the reason to come, and then the reasons men didn't come, and then this third thing I have to say, and again, I'm not really known for being tricky. I'm here to tell you, there's no other feast. There's no other feast. Verse 21. So the servant came and showed the Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and maimed and halt and blind. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said to him, verse 23, to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. That's talking about the Jews of that generation. They're not going to taste of that supper. But that's talking also about everyone who refuses to come to Christ for whatever their excuses are. They'll never taste of that supper. Never taste of it. My point is, as I was saying, there is no other feast prepared. All things are now ready. All things. We cannot count the blood of the covenant a common thing. Hebrews 10, look at this for a second. Hebrews 10, 26. It's a warning to the Jews who had come, and it's a warning to all of us who had professed a faith in Christ. He says here, for if we sin willingly, willfully, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You realize that? The Lord's never going to make any other sacrifice for sins. I hear folks saying, well, one day the rapture's going to happen and they're going to rebuild the temple and they're going to start worshiping again. No, sir. There's no other sacrifice for sins that'll ever be provided for by God. This is the feast He has provided. Our Lord Jesus Christ has died, and there's salvation in none other name under heaven. It's this salvation, it's whereby we must be saved by this one. We must be saved. How shall we escape if we neglect so great, what a word, so great salvation? How shall we escape? We have in this feast a surety that's come down from heaven, down from His glory, down into poverty. You and I have never seen the likes of being born in a stable, going through this world without a place to lie His head. The foxes had their holes and the birds of the air had their nest, but the Son of Man was just poor all His days. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, bearing our sins from the day He got here. Went to that cross in the room instead of His people, and don't let anybody ever tell you it was for anybody else. It was for the folks that came to the feast. Okay? That's who it was for. He bore their sins and their sorrows. Just like that lamb back there in Egypt, the Passover lamb. No blood on any door, but on the houses where the people of the Lord were. And in the morning, there wasn't a mouthful of that lamb left. You know that? Anybody thinks that this salvation, this satisfaction before God was for anybody other than the elect is not paying attention to the Scripture. All the sacrifices of the Bible have been particular for the people of the Lord. And He died for His people. Bore each and every sin. And I can't fathom it. I can't fathom it. Those sins were rolled up, pooled up, and caused to meet on Him, Isaiah said. Bore our sins. Took them to the grave. Came out of there. Folded that napkin and said, I'm gone. And so are my sins. So are your sins. That is what we're talking about. A perfect satisfaction. We're talking about a kinsman redeemer, just like was spoken of throughout the Old Testament, that actually came and paid for all that we owed, everything we lost. A complete satisfaction. Eternal satisfaction. Daniel called it in Daniel 9, everlasting righteousness. You know what that actually translates? The righteousness of the ages. How can it be the righteousness of the ages? Because it started way back yonder. And it's going way over yonder. Because the mercy of the Lord It's from everlasting. And you know how long it's going to be? To everlasting. You don't want to come to that dinner. You just can't understand. Reconciliation. Peace with God. Huh. How can it be? How can men refuse such a thing? Well, they do, but I'm here to tell you, the feast goes on. And the people who made excuses, they had their excuses. But that didn't mean the Lord wasn't going to have His house full. And all the people that had everything they wanted, had what they wanted. And He went out to get people that had nothing. Nothing. You go out into the highways and byways and you get the poor. The poor, I love that. I don't have much. But thank God I'm poor. And I don't care how much you've got. I hope you're poor. Poor. You know, poverty never keeps a man from coming. Matter of fact, it'll help. This feast is a feast of free grace. Poor. I know a young lady grew up with my oldest daughter, Renee. And for years, she sat in the church and listened to the gospel. And she believed the gospel. And one day it dawned on her, I think she was in her early 20s, I need to confess Christ in baptism. And she went and had Henry baptized her. And afterwards, my daughter said to her, why did you wait so long? You believed this all your life. And you know what she said? She said, well, I felt like if I got baptized, I would have to bring green bean casserole to any dinners we had at the churches. She was being funny. But the world's like that. People are like that. People are like that. They think, I got to bring something. No, sir, you don't have to bring a thing. Leave your green beans at home. This is what I'm talking about. Poor, poor people and the maimed. The maimed. People who've lost an arm, lost an eye, had something terrible happen to them. People like that that are not very pretty. You don't have to worry about that man. That man talking about he's married a wife. Most of the women may not have anything to do with him. And this poor man we're talking about here, he's not buying any property he hasn't seen. He's too poor for such a thing. We're talking about true people that are poor, spiritually poor, maimed, unable to do anything, halt, can't walk. Can't walk. That man's not going to talk to you about having to plow with 10 oxen. He can't walk. Not going to talk about, I walk with Jesus. No, sir. God Almighty will enable him to walk with Jesus. No man does that apart from that. He's poor, he's halt, he's maimed, and he's blind. Ignorant. Ignorant. I tell you, ignorance will not keep a person from the feast. You don't have to know much. You just come to the feast. And the covering, the veil will be lifted. The veil will be lifted. You don't run into a lot of theologians. I just love it when a simple person comes to the feast. And our Lord said, you've been through the cities, you've been through the streets, you've been through the lanes, you're going out to the highways, out there where all the ruffians are hiding out, people that might just steal your wallet as you're coming down the road. And you go out among the hedges, out there in the hollers, out there in Wheelersburg, Ohio, Roanoke, Rocky Mountain, out in the hedges, out with common people. You go out there and you tell them, you compel them to come to this feast. I love that word. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I mean, I know this. I know nobody's ever going to come other than the Lord's elect. But I don't ever want to be a callous man when I'm preaching. I'm here to tell you, you have been invited. Everyone under the sound of my voice has an invitation to come. To come. And I don't know who the Lord's elect are. But we preach a gospel saying come. Our Lord Jesus did. He said, look over here. Look at Matthew 12 for just a moment. 11. I won't keep you too long. Matthew 11. I love this verse. Our Lord's talking about the sovereignty of God. He says here in verse 25, listen to this. This is one of the first, only times you'll ever hear about our Lord rejoicing. He says in Matthew 11:25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Simple, poor, maimed, halt, ignorant, blind. That's it. I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Even so, Father, here's the reason for it. So it seemed good in thy sight. That's the only reason you're ever going to get. It just seemed good in his sight. And all things are delivered unto me of my Father. But God, my Father's given me everything. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. We're in union. Nobody really knows the Son but the Father. And neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You're never going to know anything about God unless you come through the Son and have be revealed through him. So what's the point? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come. Come. Come to the feast. All things are prepared. Go out and compel them, speaking in the Master's name to come. The house is going to be filled. Did you notice that? My house is going to be filled. And I know when that day comes, we're going to walk in and there's not going to be any vacancies. Every one of those chairs is going to have a name in front of it, just like some nice banquet you've been to. It's going to have your name on it. There won't be one empty space. It's going to be filled with the maimed, blind, lowlifes of this world, people that were just nobodies. They had no fitness to come. No fitness to come. And I'm going to tell you something about these people. They never dreamed of ever having any fitness when they got there. The garment was prepared and put on them. All through the merits of the Son of God. His death, His burial, His resurrection, His glorious name, His gospel, His feast. Come. Our Lord said to the Pharisees, you will not come unto me that you might have life. But I'm here to tell you, His people come. I love the way the book of Revelations ends. Have you ever noticed there in Revelations chapter 22? Look at it for a second. It's no mystery or secret why the Bible ends this way. Look at this in verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him hear that heareth. Hear. Talking about hearing. You hear. Do you hear? Our Lord said, today. Paul wrote that three times, I believe, in the third chapter of Hebrews. Today. That's the only day you've got. You don't have tomorrow. Today, if you will, hear. Hear. Be attentive. Believe His voice, the gospel. Come. You that hear, come. And him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I'm telling you, we spend our days when we come to Christ in this life. And I thank God I did it years ago. But I still do it. It's to whom coming, Peter wrote. We continue coming to this one. And I said, I'll leave you at this. When it's all over, when it's all done, that day when the goats are separated from the sheep, our Lord is going to say, come, you blessed of the Father. Oh, blessed of the Father. Blessed of the Father. To do what? To inherit. You didn't earn this. I've seen some people inherit some things in their lives and they didn't earn it. Only reason they got it is because they were children. You come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come, for all things are now ready. Brother.